You're listening to The Dice Men Cometh, proudly sponsored by Area 52, Tasmania's largest independent pop culture retailer. Find them at 104 Elizabeth Street, Hobart, or online at area52.com.au.
The Dice Men Cometh!
Welcome to the show that celebrates the most environmentally damaging hobby the world has ever seen, tabletop gaming.
What?!
Yeah, think about it. Think about all the trees that you cut down for all that cardboard. Think about all the toxic paints and dyes that get used in your favourite games. Think about all the kiddies in the developing worlds who are hand-painting all those Star Wars miniatures. Right?
Yep. Keep going.
Think about the conditions that the robots work in those factories in China.
Trent.
Those poor, poor robots.
They're not robots, are they?
Think about the zombies that this hobby has unleashed. Right? And think about all those stinky nerds polluting the air as they congregate in basements to roll dice.
And think about all the CO2 that comes out of those cans of Lynx aerosols and sprays that sort of just don't quite work.
We didn't want to call it the Stinky Nerd Show, so we've called it The Dice Men Cometh, and it's episode number
165.
Thank you for the 11th of May, 2017. My name's Trent.
I'm Mark.
I'm Garth. You might not remember me, though.
Welcome back.
Thank you very much. Garth. I'm here for a week before I have to fly out again. I'm sorry, guys.
Tough work.
Special show tonight with special guests.
Yeah, is there ever special guests? It's not just me. We actually have some real bona fide special guests who are currently relaxing luxuriantly in our green room. And that is the lovely Alan and the even lovelier Alistair from Rule and Make. And we are very, very excited to have them on our little island because they are going to be talking about everything Hand of Fate, which is their newest Kickstarter that isn't out yet. So you will get the inside word.
Oh, yeah.
But before that, Trent, are you going to play us one of these songs that you're becoming increasingly famous for?
Nah, this one's almost listenable.
All right. Well, thank you very much for joining us. The Dice Men Cometh are on Edge Radio 99.3. Tonight, we are proudly sponsored by those good folk at Area 52, which is Australia's, Hobart's, and Tasmania's largest independent books, comics, manga specialist.
Pop culture.
Hell with it, and Australia's too, and we're going to give you more reasons to get in there right after this.
Mellow, Trent, for one of your tracks. That was Royal Thunder with We Slipped. I think you might have slipped when you put that one in your bag instead of one of your usual heavy odd tracks.
Hey, listen, I'm not just about loud guitars all the time. There are many shades of Trent. There are many modes.
You're like an onion.
That's exactly no.
Okay.
All right.
But anyway, we are the Dice Men Cometh on Edge Radio 99.3 FM, proudly sponsored by Area 52, our local friendly local game store, as well as pop culture and a whole bunch of other things. They do a fantastic job, and we're even later, I think, you may have seen it posted, but we're going to talk about an event that's there tomorrow night or two nights ago, if you're listening to the podcast, where we're going to be there with our special guests.
I know. So, hey to the Schwartz. Yeah. You know why we call him the Schwartz, of course.
Well, because his Schwartz is larger than ours.
Exactly. For anyone who's listening who's under the age of 30, they do exist.
Schwartzes.
It's a Spaceballs reference. Did I have to say that?
I have that DVD, and I am so close to educating my children on that kind of humour. Oh, my God.
What have we been playing lately?
Oh, my God! Speaking of space, we are talking about Escape from the Aliens in Outer Space, which will now, for the rest of this episode, just be known as Escape, so that we don't
have to say the whole thing. Yeah.
So, look, we are talking about a game that originally came out quite a few years ago, because Trent, before we get into this game, I flashed up a little screen of research that I had been doing, and I mentioned that this game was a nominee for the 2011 Diana Jones Awards in the Excellence in Gaming, and you went, oh, I love this story about Diana Jones, to which I went,
The Diana Jones Award is a great story, and it's not a particularly well-known gaming award to win. It's kind of a little bit ironic, but nonetheless, it does go to some worthy recipients. I think in 2011, Fiasco
They one. Did. Yeah,
yeah.
They did,
yes. It's got a very sort of loose application, the Diana Jones Award. The trophy, the trophy is a Perspex pyramid, and inside are the cardboard remnants of one of the last copies of the Indiana Jones role-playing game. Okay, and all that's legible from those contents, if you look in the pyramid, is the word Diana Jones. Okay, so hence there is no Diana Jones.
Oh, okay. She doesn't exist.
No, there's an Indiana Jones.
Okay,
right,
but
exactly, it's kind of like you, on Netflix. There's that documentary about the old ET video game that killed
the Atari one. Yes,
it's very much in that spirit.
Oh, that's brilliant.
Yeah. Yeah, so look, it, as I say, does go to some very, very good games.
Mm.
And this is one of them.
It is, but let's get to that, because what is Escape? You know, it's not the Escape from the Aliens in Outer Space, and there's a lot of Rugrats in me. You might remember that cartoon from a few years ago, which just wants to call it Inside Space. That doesn't, because I'm a mature adult.
Rugrats, Indiana Jones, Spaceballs, We have dated ourselves. Yeah, we're aging fast tonight. Mm. We really have.
Exactly. I hear Justin Bieber's really cool these days. So anyway, this is a small card strategy bluffing game where, look, the theme is that you're apparently set in a very heavily damaged spaceship in the middle of space. There is a team of humans and a team of aliens. But of course, in this bluffing deception game, no one knows who each other are. And we do have to say that we played the deluxe version of this, where, unlike the base game, which comes with a whole bunch of 1990s paper and pencils, this comes with the new and improved 2000 version. Well, that's those playing the game. But the version with some little flip boards and some white Sharpies where you can rub them out. Yeah. Oh, it's brilliant, isn't
should,
it?
Should we tell Leon to edit that out? Later?
About Garth Virgin.
No, okay.
Anyway.
He never listens anyway.
Carry on.
Look, this game comes in a very nice little box. And the very exciting thing and the beautiful thing I like about it is the art style immediately on the box. Because I think it takes a bit of braveness to just have a box that is almost virtually completely black. It doesn't really stand out on the shelf when you look at it.
No, it is very 2001 monolith looking on the shelf.
Mm. Certainly cheap to design.
Well, not really, because they had two different styles of black on there, which surely must have cost them some form of money. But anyway, to the game. Each of you are going to be randomly shuffled and assigned a team. Let's call it a team. You're either going to be on the human team or the alien team.
A role card.
The humans have one objective, and that is to escape. The aliens have one objective, which is to eat said humans, and that's it. Now, in the little flip board that each player is going to get, you will decide what map are we going to choose, and everyone has to play the same map because you're all playing in the same battleship or spaceship or destroyed space premises, whatever it is you want to call it.
A grid of hexes.
Exactly.
And right. I do love that design element, because not only do you have, what, like 8 or 10 different boards you can play on, but because it's a flip book, you then can sort of hold up the outer part of the flip book, which then becomes a screen to stop everyone from seeing what you're up to. It's very, very clever but simple.
Yeah, because this game is all about the hidden movement. And there are a couple of differences between the two teams or the two roles, the humans versus the aliens. Now, the humans, all they've got to do is start at the human starting point, which is always predetermined by the starting map, and they've got to get to one of four exits. All they are able to do on their turn is make a move from one hex to another, and that's it. The only difference is that there are two different styles of hex. There is one clear white hex, which is a safe space. And then there is a grey hatched out little hex area, which is a more dangerous space because you have to draw a danger card from the danger deck and something dangerous might happen. Or it might not, depending on the card that you draw.
Yes.
Whereas the aliens, they start from a different predetermined alien spot. They can move one or two hexes, depending on how sneaky they want to be. The hexes, again, are white and grey, and they will also have to draw some danger cards from the danger deck if they end up on a danger space. However, they can't use any abilities on those cards that they draw. So this game is very simple, but it's all about the bluffing and how much the alien players are willing to give up to keep everyone thinking that they are a human being, but it's also about how quickly they can really get to the humans and start going nom 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 nom.
Because once you move, you then have to more or less announce where you are, maybe, depending on what card you draw. Some cards force you to announce the actual hex that you're on.
Exactly.
Some cards force you to announce a completely different hex.
Correct. So when you land on that danger space, you'll draw from the deck, and the deck will give you one of three possible outcomes. If you draw a card that is green, then you're fine. You don't have to say anything that's going to give your position away. You can lie. You can say, I'm not on hex Q12, I'm actually on hex A1, to which all the aliens will go, how'd you get there? You're lying to me. But if you draw that red card, then you are absolutely having to say the correct hex that you are in. And that's just putting that big target on your back for the aliens who are going to make a beeline to you.
Not that they're going to know that you drew the red card.
Not at all.
Right, so this is a game where everybody is sitting around bullshitting to each other.
Correct, which is a game that is completely up the Dice Men alley because we spend our life not being honest with each other.
And I'm just going to put this out there. Hidden movement games are a mixed bag.
Yes.
Fair to say?
Yes, right, we did talk just 2-3 weeks back. With Leon had played Spectre Ops, and that was another in that family. And we were talking about your Letters to Whitechapel, your Scotland Yard, your Nuns on the Run,
Fury of Dracula.
It's a small family.
There's even a mode of Pandemic, one of the expansions in the early version.
Oh, the bioterrorists?
Exactly. I think they feel a little bit like too much work for not enough reward often. Because
you don't get to see what's happening.
And usually one player has privileged information, and so there's a lot of pressure either on that player or on everybody else to try and sort of actually exert some brain power to try and figure it out.
Mm-hmm.
In this case, everyone's in the same boat, right?
No, it's a spaceship.
Well, the metaphor. I'm like an onion.
Oh God, not that again.
I am just going to say that I think this is the best hidden movement game that I've played.
Yeah, wow.
Because everybody is in the same space boat.
Well, what I really like about this game is that you've already heard the explanation. You can listen to the first 20 minutes of this episode and know everything that you need to know about this game. Also, in each little player booklet, I guess, you don't just have the map that you're going to be using, but that other side of the page that you flip up, that's where you're going to keep track of your movements, and you'll go, well, I started in X hex N01, and I went to N02, then I went to M, da-da-da-da-da. But it also lists all the potential special abilities that you're going to find on those cards that you draw in your danger deck, because when you draw a card, not only does it have red or green, there are also potentially white cards. And a white card is where you say
Silence sector.
No, silence in all sectors.
Silence in all sectors.
But it also potentially has a little symbol, which essentially is that one-off superpower that you're able to use. So, for example, there might be a little picture of a cat. And you can choose at any time during your turn to play that card, and that allows you to say, well, I'm in B11 or I'm in Q20. And it's a great way to add a little bit more deception to a game that is already about bluffing, deception, lying to your friends.
And all of this played on these lovely little flip books and this deluxe version of the game with these felt tip pens that are like the dry erase coating on the books, some nice quality cardboard and stuff. Mark, you won one of these.
Yeah, I won the second game
that we played, which made me want to stab you in the eye with my dry erase pen. Did you enjoy yourself?
Yeah, look, I do enjoy the hidden movement games, although it has to be said, I don't enjoy being, when it's the one versus many, just like in role playing, I don't want to be the one.
Have you ever been the one?
I want to be the many.
Have you ever been the one?
I used to have a copy of Fury of Dracula, and I played it and had to teach people, so of course I had to be Dracula, and I want to share all the good stuff with all the people. I don't like to hide away and keep secrets.
And yet you always demand to be treated specially.
Well, he always wants to play everyone else's turn. I think that's more the issue.
Probably. I can't do that. But look, I had fun. Look, I'm not going to say it's one of my favourite games, but I had fun. It doesn't overstay its welcome. It plays relatively quickly.
Certainly does.
Particularly because you can pick, you know, you can pick a big map or a small map. Not only is every map having the white and grey spaces, but then you've got obstacles. So it becomes that deduction element of, okay, you've gone into a silent sector, then you've gone into another one. Which part of the board could you be in? How far can you move? There's that aspect to it. I didn't like that the aliens don't get to use the special abilities.
I didn't like that either. I felt the aliens were a little underpowered.
Yeah, bit vanilla. This, although they do get to move two spaces, I guess.
Well, look, that is something that has been talked about a little bit, because, you know, the reality is if you are the alien, you are physically not allowed to use the abilities on the card.
Mm.
The other thing that is a bit of an issue for me is, as a human player, when you actually get to your escape pod. Because there is the advanced version where, A, every character, human or alien, has a unique special ability, which is, again, on their random card, and they have that ability, they can see what option they're able to do.
Yeah.
But the second thing is that when the humans get to a pod, there is a deck of four cards that you have to draw from. And one of those four cards is the "This escape pod is broken" card. Yeah. So you've just spent however long the game is going, which might be a good 20, 30 minutes before you actually get to the escape pod, to have that random chance screw you over, doubly so, because A, you don't get out of this space boat. The second thing is you've just told everyone where you are, so the aliens just go, ha, 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 there's breakfast. And I don't like that portion of the game.
What's that stupid game with bunnies and carrots?
Killer bunnies?
Yeah. It's that. It's, we've just played for 2 hours and now let's randomly draw a carrot that wins.
Well, look,
it's not quite that.
It's not a game. I don't think you could accuse this game of being overly sort of designed.
Yeah.
Or overly thought through.
But I think there is a real beauty to its simplicity.
Yes.
Because you can explain it, you can play it, and you can get it over and done with.
It feels a niche.
The house
for sure.
rule that I would have is just get rid of those little four cards that say whether a pot is done. Because the rule is, as soon as one player has escaped in that pod, it's jettisoned. It's gone. So that is in itself is enough, because the humans on the teams don't know where everyone is going. So we had that situation when we played it, where Leon and I, with no strategy clearly, because it's Leon and I, were going for the same pod. And that so-and-so got there two moves before I had, so I was stuck. And then, when I was fighting against you two, who were aliens, I managed to get to the next escape pod. I drew that card, and it was the "this is broken" card, which is when we stopped.
Yeah.
So, look, it's silly, but it's fun.
It is.
It could use a couple of little tweaks to maybe give it a bit.
Look,
more
a very simple house rule. I think we'll fix any issues.
I think the design is awful. I got to say,
really?
It plays well, but it looks, I mean, it's the design is just purely, purely functional. There are some images of aliens on the backs of some of the cards, but I really had to squint to sort of see what the hell they're supposed to look like. But the quality of the actual playbook and the dry erasers and everything sort of make up for it.
Yep.
You know, it's,
although this is the deluxe second edition, isn't it?
Well, I wouldn't even bother with.
Yeah, yeah.
Other one is the you get the pad of maps and pencils. Yeah. So don't bother with that one. Go straight to the deluxe, because the deluxe one is not expensive.
Yeah.
And the other thing I hate about this game is the title. Could the title be any more generic?
Escape from the aliens in outer space.
Right, that literally tells me nothing.
What?
About what you're actually doing. Come on, really.
Well, I'm pretty sure it tells you exactly what you're doing.
It tells you what half the people are doing.
It doesn't.
What about the aliens?
It doesn't say it's a hidden movement game. There is zero flavour. Yeah.
So how about escape from the hidden aliens in outer space?
That's already better, Garth. Your attempt at sarcasm has just been deflected.
Or let humans escape from the hidden aliens in outer space. Or
letters
do
from
they?
Xenomorphs?
Anyway, let's move on to something a bit more interesting, shall we?
Does it get a thumbs up?
I really enjoyed it. I think you could play it with a whole swathe of ages. I think you definitely need to house rule it. Don't go for the basic version. Do the deluxe. I had fun.
Yeah, I think it has broad appeal. It definitely fills a niche. Doesn't overstay time-wise. So, I mean, this is something that could be on most people's game shows.
Unless you want to play on one of those really, really big maps of the space boat. that come with the thing. Yeah. Okay, so agreed. Fine with the right group.
Yeah.
So long as you don't take too long. That's Escape from the Aliens in Outer Space.
Special guests!
Special guests coming up. They've been waiting out now in the cold, cold green room.
No, they've been getting massages and eating brown M&Ms.
Oh, yes. So please stack up the marshmallows for the open fire, and I'll just make sure that I open the blind so you can see a view of the lap pool from the studio. Of Edge Radio 99.3 FM. The Diceman cometh with special guests Alan and Alistair from Ruler Mate Games coming up next. Tassie Band, Cody and Get Low. It's Edge Radio 99.3 FM. The Diceman cometh as they do every Thursday night talking board games and card games. This week we're doing it with the support of the wonderful, wonderful people at Area 52, our local nerd den. And we're about to give you a very, very good reason to get in there, especially if you're around in Hobart this coming Friday. Of course, by the time the podcast goes out, this will all be sort of over and done. And sort of people will just be jealous and gnashing their teeth. But that's all right.
Well, what we'll do, we'll post a link to this discussion on our Facebook page moments after we actually speak. Like, we'll take a small trip in time into the future, post it, and people can listen to it. They've just listened to it. Anyway,
I haven't
can get it beforehand.
Any of that, but maybe you can explain who we've got in the studio.
Fantastic.
As a special guest.
We are joined by, I want to say, the doyens of Australian board games, the premier design studio of Terra Australis, Rule and Make. We've got Alan and Alistair, who are the, what's the word? I don't know if I can describe them big enough, not that they're large, but look, these guys are the bee's knees of board games in Australia.
Why did I get him to do the intro?
So welcome.
Did you not prepare this, mate?
Hey, yes. Yeah. Please.
G'day, guys.
It's so nice to have you here. Now, we put on some special cold weather for you, but we are here and you are here for some demos, for some previews of this amazing new game you've got coming. Tell us about it.
Yeah, Hand of Fate. So, yeah, let's get excited for Hand Woo-hoo! Of Fate.
Just a moment, Hand of Fate. I know a video game called Hand of Fate. Would it be anything to do with that Australian-made video game, Hand of Fate? Oh, my God.
Yeah, precisely. So we've partnered with Define Development to make a board game, a version of the Hand of Fate board, the video game. So it's called Hand of Fate Ordeals. And it sets in between the first Hand of Fate and the second one that's due to come later this year.
Oh, my God, you've even got, like, in-game continuity.
Yes.
Oh. So Hand of Fate, it built itself, the video game, as deck building brought to life.
Yep.
And now you're bringing it back to deck building. So you're killing it and making it deck building again.
The guys at Defiant are huge board game fanatics. So I think that this it's kind of like, you know, things coming full circle, deck building concepts that are, they have a very special take on how deck builders work in the video game format. But it's only natural that I think that it comes back into the board game sort of area.
How much more meta can you get? It's like the board game of the video game of the board game. And next there'll be a video game about the board game of the video game of the board game.
It'll happen.
Well, that's Hand of Fate too. So, but what I don't know a lot about the video game, but obviously it's a part deck builder, part dungeon crawl, which are two of my absolute favorite types of games. So, and look, you know, spoiler alert, we got a very brief preview just before the show and oh my God, I am just going off. Because it's both those two elements, but in a way that I have never seen put together before. I mean, I was a Thunderstone fan, and Thunderstone was a deck builder with a dungeon crawling theme, but this, you're actually dungeon crawling in the deck builder.
So does this mean I'm meant to cancel my Thunderstone pledge?
No, it'll be good. We'll play.
Oh, I can do that one as well. All right, thanks.
To talk about how this game came together.
It all started back in our very first published game, Rise to Power. This is about 4 years ago. Was it 4 years ago? It's about then.
Yeah, about 4 years ago.
And so when we made Rise to Power, we commissioned one of the artists, Nick Smith, who works for Defiant Development. And through that relationship, Defiance started to became fans. I guess we're mutual fans of each other.
We're all based in Brisbane,
and they became fans of our how we run Kickstarters, as well as the games that we've made. And through the various different games that we have done, we were able to sort of start this dialogue with Morgan, who's the head of Defiant Development, who. We started to have that discussion with him, and then Hand of Fate really sort of just came out naturally. They wanted to make something, and we were very, very happy to have this opportunity to do this.
And you just happened to be there in their own backyard as well.
Yeah, yeah. So it was all kind of just everything was just very fortuitous.
And then this is the other amazing element, is then you started to work with this other young Australian designer, Barantis, and... He then, unbeknownst to you, he was actually thinking about this game would be awesome to make a board game of, and those things just like naturally came together.
Yeah, it's sort of like a situation of Lock, Stock, and Two Smoking Barrels. Like all these different separate storylines kind of converge. So we had Brantis, who was designing a game because he was a fan of the video game, and he was working as a
in a video game store or something?
No, I got computer parts.
Oh, that's
store,
right. Yeah, right.
And he was a mutual friend, and he found Defiant. Just one day, some of the guys there went to pick up some computer parts, and then he started to like pitch them on the game idea a long, long time ago. And we met Brantis through other means. We were actually looking into publishing a different game of his, and somehow everything started to converge. And when we talked to Defiant about sort of starting this, we started to announce this to all of our internal team members. And at the time, Barantis was actually working on a different game. Realized that was happening. He started to just jump up and down and say, I've got a game. And we said, oh, okay. Well, we'll try this out. And the game was amazing. So everything sort of just came together really sort of nicely.
I have to admit that I wasn't aware of Hand of Fate before hearing about your adaptation of it. I don't get a lot of time to play a lot of video games. So for anyone who hasn't heard of it, let's kind of give them the sort of elevator pitch of what it's all about. That you're in the video game, you're facing off against a dealer. There's a whole stack of different... there's equipment decks and encounter decks, and you're playing against a progressively tougher series of bosses and building up your deck, obviously being a deck builder as you go, and this obviously lends itself to a board game. Is that's more or less the approach?
Yeah, that's right. So the video game is the basic premise is that you are playing the game of life and death. You are playing the dealer's game, and it's a little meta in that you are playing a character that's sitting at a table playing a game with the dealer. So it's a game within a game kind of feeling. And there's the core premise is the dealer has the cards. They deal the cards out, which is your path, your fate, and you move between cards, encountering different enemies and getting better gear and building your deck and getting better at your character gets better.
Sure.
So that's the kind of the core underlying premise of the video game, and being a game within a game, you know, and being a card-based game with this idea of encounters and character improvement, it lends itself so perfectly well to a physical board game adaptation that uses the same kind of meta characteristics of a game within a game. And the Hand of Fate Ordeals board game captures that. I'm playing a character that's sitting down at a table playing a character in the game of life and death.
Meta!
It's meta. You know, it captures that perfectly.
And so, as I understand, because I as well haven't played the video game, but did a little bit of research, how I understand is you're playing the sort of the card part, and then all of a sudden you're launched into the sort of first-person shooter dungeon where you're wearing your equipment that you have in the cards, you're fighting against the monsters that you drew cards. Clearly then, what you're going to add later is the LARP element for your board game. Because we know ourselves, you know, we always love to dress up as wizards.
No! No!
So who owns the longest beard, fake beard?
Well,
who needs a fake one? Who needs a fake one?
Yeah, no, I had the real one going on for a while. It's got to be more than just a straight lift of the video game, though, doesn't it? Because the video game's got these sort of weird cutscenes in it where it actually goes into an actual arcade thing, like a Batman Arkham thing or whatever.
Batman Arkham Asylum is probably a very good analogy because it has like this sort of real time combat system in it. But with any good game design, you don't want to just take the source material and then just convert it, because then you're taking it into a different medium and you're not really taking into consideration the strengths and limitations of this different format. So Hand of Fate, the video game, gives us a very, very good foundation, which inherently is already a very analog metaphor, like how it's presented. So that is a very strong base that we can just sort of base our design on. But there are definitely big departures when it comes to actual how do you represent combat in the game. So that's where we actually take in our expertise as board game publishers that does board games and design board games. And that's where we sort of come in and sort of add elements that are actually great for the how we do board game design.
And so this game already from the computer game has a lovely visual aesthetic where it's sort of quite old school. You've got these sort of tarot style cards, but I'm just going berserk about this game because it's got all the things I love in it. But then you've brought in, talk about, the doyen of Australian board games with you guys, the doyen of Australian board game art, Ian O'Toole, huge friend we're huge friends of his. Let's say we're riding on his coattails. And he's created more art for the game. I mean, he's had to match the video game style, but he's created a whole bunch of extra art. And not only that, but, the way he brings graphic design to board games where things just flow and the game almost talks to you about how it works. When I saw this out on the table, I was just blown away. It looks amazing. Talk through your process of working with Ian and his involvement.
So the original artist for all the Hand of Fate cards in the video game was illustrated by Jesse Gillespie. The Defiant Development also has a team of artists that work on various aspects of the games.
But what's that style?
So lino-cut.
Yes. So it's replicating a very old kind of printing technique, isn't
yes,
it?
Yes, yeah. It wants to go with a very specific style that sort of works for that.
Makes it look ye olde Middle Ages sort of thing. So.
Yeah, you can say that. So there's a very specific style that we have to sort of adhere to. And that's where the mastery of Ian sort of comes in, because he's able to deconstruct and understand the style and how also to adapt that into the board game setting. Because the one thing that board gamers sort of realize that video game development studios or game gamers don't probably isn't as aware is that your sole interface to the game is the art and the illustrations, what you see in front of you. And if you don't understand what you're looking at, there is no feedback. The graphic design element is really, really important. In fact, it's probably one of the most important above art, because that if you don't understand how to play the game, it doesn't matter how pretty it looks, you can't play it.
I don't know if I've ever heard that put more succinctly or better, Alan. And that's where Ian excels.
And obviously, because the advantage of a video game and why you can have a really, really complex video game is because you can introduce people to a rule at a time. You can step them through in tutorials and things like that. And that's always the challenge with board games with these, and not that this is a super complex board game, but with complex board games is you've got to read a book, you've then got to explain that to the rest of the people around the table. They've got to understand it. And if you can't lay out your board and your rules in a way that makes it easy to teach, then that's just a huge barrier to entry for enjoying that game. I think you have knocked it out of the park on this one, because I was sitting there, Trent was telling me to shut up, but a lot of it was just obvious in the way that the cards were laid out, in the way that the board was laid out.
Actually, I'm telling you to shut up and stop gushing now, because we're running out of time.
Oh, sorry.
We have had a look at A Hand of Fate tonight, though, and very, very impressed. I thought it was like, it actually reminded me of Pathfinder, but good.
I have no comment on it.
It's so different.
That's meant as a compliment.
Okay. Anyway, let's put a little pause in this. We're going to go and play a song.
Well, hang on. Where can people play Hand of Fate in Hobart on Friday night?
Well, on Friday night, they can play it at our sponsor for this week, Area 52, which is at 104 Elizabeth Street, Hobart, if you are playing at home. But we're going to cut to a song, Alan. Alistair, please stay with us because we've got a lot of questions left to go. So you are with the Dice Men Cometh on Edge Radio 99.3.
The Brinks with Temporary Love, Edge Radio 99.3 FM. Trent, Mark and Garth here with Alan and Alistair from Rule and Make Games for the Dice Men Cometh, supported by Area 52. And Friday night, you can playtest Hand of Fate in the flesh with Alan and Alistair as they take you through this fabulous adaptation of the video game. And Saturday in Melbourne as well, yeah? Whereabouts?
Yeah, so Saturday at Gatekeeper Games. I don't know what the address of Gatekeeper is.
We'll put a link.
Yeah, okay, that's great. And it's from 1 p.m. to 5 p.m.
Now, the actual Kickstarter for Hand of Fate launches on the 22nd of May.
22nd of May, 8 p.m. Queensland time.
Well, Eastern time. Yeah. Right. We're not in daylight savings.
No. You guys have done pretty well on the old Kickstarter, but this one you were telling us earlier. This one's a sort of step up for you. It's the sort of the next level.
Yeah, in terms of scale, ambition, and scope, it's definitely one of the it's the biggest game that we've done so far.
And minis.
Yeah, miniatures.
$5 million.
I just love the story of Ruler Mate because you guys were business partners before board games. You developed some kind of computer software. I don't pretend to understand. There's something called Symphony CMS. Yeah. This is what Facebook uses to spy on everybody. Is that right? Is that what it is?
No,
that's made you independently wealthy and you can just indulge your favorite hobby now. Is that right?
I wish it was open source software so we didn't get paid from the software itself. We did sell
just, that's a shit business model.
it's a service-based thing. So, yeah, we did get paid. We got paid fairly well doing the work.
Okay.
But it is still work. We didn't sell it and then became rich and live off an island. Right, but that's what we're hoping to do for Rule of Mate.
But you poured all those millions into board game publishing now.
Except the offshore account, Alan, wink, wink.
And the millions, yeah.
So, Alan, you're the creative director. Alistair, you're the head of production. So Alan's the dreamy one with the ideas, who's got no friggin' idea of how to actually make things into reality, which is where you come in.
That's why Alistair's right. Hardly got a word in on the show.
Yeah, Alan's big thing is to come up with crazy ideas and pitch them to me at ridiculous hours of the day, night, whenever. And my job is to basically say, no, Alan. That's a bad idea.
That's true. Yeah.
Do you guys get to game for fun anymore?
Not as much as we used to. We sneak in a game here and there. But when you live and breathe making games.
Yeah.
I mean, you've just been playtesting Hand of Fate constantly, I imagine.
Pretty much, yeah. For us, it's a different side of the board gaming space. And it's the seeing how games are made and what goes into developing games, producing games. It's a different side of the same coin, I guess.
Is it worth it?
If you ask a director or a producer or a screenwriter about, you know, whether or not they enjoy... Because working in the industry does kind of, not destroy, but you get to deeper level of understanding of what you're doing. And you're no longer able to enjoy the thing at a surface level. You can't be just a patron, you know, at a cinema and enjoy the... But, you know, if you ask them whether or not they love the industry and they love what they do, then they still say yes, because they're getting a fulfillment from a different side of things.
And so then when, you know, a bunch of armchair critics who run podcasts come in and tear the crap out of some game that you know somebody's just sweated blood over, it must be just heartbreaking.
Luckily, we've never done that about any of their games, Trent.
The thing that we always maintain is that criticism is always fair as long as they play the game correctly.
Yeah.
Yeah. Why did you look at Trent just then?
Yeah, or pronounce the name of it correctly.
Yeah.
Burger Up has been a massive, massive hit for Rule and Make. What does that sort of mean? Do you guys have a cash cow that you can endlessly... Well, do you have a lizard that you can endlessly milk? Because I noticed that Hand of Fate is called Hand of Fate colon. There's the colon. Ordeals. I mean, that just says franchise to me.
An expansion.
Burger Up's definitely been very successful for us. It's more open doors for us, I think, rather than being like this big cash cow for us. It's given us a lot of clout or credibility in the international markets to talk to distributors and retailers outside of Australia. And that's been a really good thing for us.
Because you've just signed a distribution deal, haven't you, with the North American, big North American company?
Yeah, yeah. So Passport, the guys that are most famously known for bringing Tokaido to North American markets.
Ah. Yeah.
We've signed on with Passport and they'll be doing our worldwide distribution for all our upcoming products.
Fantastic.
Really exciting.
Yeah, yeah. So we're not going to see Burger Up X-Men or Burger Up Legacy or... the Burger Up Munchkin crossover.
We have something cooking.
Okay, right. Literally.
Well, we better get more copies of Burger Up out into the market then so the expansion can sell. So let's give some away. Rule and Make Games have been kind enough to offer the Dice Men some copies of Burger Up, but not just any old copies, the special Kickstarter edition, which comes with, what, an actual burger?
It comes with the Kickstarter exclusive goodies.
Burgers of the world.
The poster and the actual drink coaster.
As well as the game recipe book, which actually has a recipe for a burger.
Yeah.
Three copies. How are we going to give these away? What are we going to do?
You're going to take photos of you eating a burger. Well, not you eating a burger, Trent, but you listening eating a burger. And are we going to give bonus points if they manage to get their hand in there, like the hand of
burger?
Yeah,
we want the hand of fate in the burger.
Yes. So what all our listeners need to do is send us a photo via our Facebook page or our Instagram or our Twitter.
Or Gmail.
Or our Gmail, which is dicemencometh@gmail.com. We're going to have this competition running for a little while we probably eat burgers ourselves. But we'll be lucky enough to give away three copies to listeners thanks to Rule and Make.
Fantastic. Look, I'm so excited for this Kickstarter launching on the 22nd of May because you guys run the most amazing Kickstarter campaigns. Your communication is fantastic.
Mark, will you stop bashing?
No, it's true. These guys manage Kickstarters brilliantly. And the fact that you've got a game that's known worldwide with Hand of Fate, I think this is going to just drop kick exploding kittens into the volcano where it belongs and be massive.
All right. Well, look, just to put a little bit of a reality on this, one of the things you are actually known for is your regular, is it Sunday updates with your Kickstarters? I presume that's an intention you have for the upcoming Hand of Fate?
Yes. Sunday updates is our thing.
Lovely.
We've been doing it for a long time now.
Yeah. Excellent. So, yeah, obviously, when you all back this little project...
And you will!
On the 22nd of May, 8 p.m. it launches. Just keep an eye on your emails from Sunday because you'll be releasing your regular updates. Anyway, guys, thanks so much for coming in, not only to the show, but flying down to this little old island of ours and running the wonderful event that's happening at 6 p.m. tomorrow night, which is Friday at Area 52. We have to go and now hopefully play a proper full game of Hand of Fate.
Woo-hoo!
Is that what we're going to do?
Yeah! And eat a burger!
Exactly right. So again, if you want to get a copy of Burger Up, please email us a photo of you eating a burger to dicemencometh@gmail.com or post it on our Facebook page.
Or on Instagram.
Send it to us on Instagram. Or tweet it. Thanks, Mark. That's all good.
Don't send us the burger.
Send us the burger.
All right.
That's wonderful. Anyway, we're out of here. Thanks so much for listening to episode 165 of The Dice Men Cometh on Edge Radio 99.3 FM with thanks to Area 52.
Thank you so much, guys.
Thanks, guys.
Cheers, thanks.
So we've just finished up the most awesome preview event for an amazing game, Hand of Fate Ordeals from Rule and Make here in Hobart. And we have right here with us Alan Chang, Alistair Kearney, and we're so excited about this.
We sure are. So after listening to the gush that you put on this damn game, Mark, it's great that we actually finally got a chance to play it, and we're very lucky to be able to play it with Alan and Alistair from Rule and Make Games. Now, guys, this has just been a bit of an exclusive
first hands-on look at this game. How do you think it went? Did we play the game right?
Yeah, I was really, really excited to see you guys play. Obviously, we have play-tested the game within like the smaller sort of circle of people that we play-test a lot, but this is one of the few opportunities that we get to sort of showcase the game outside to people who have really not had a chance to see. So this is like you know, seeing the prototype that we've made and how complete it is, and really glad to have a very positive response from everybody who played today.
And Alistair, what was the reaction generally? Because, of course, all those people who wanted in apart from us had no idea what they were coming to see.
Yeah, really, really good. The overall response, everyone's really excited to play the game. Once they wrapped their head around the game, they got totally just, you know, focused on the game, wanted to keep playing. We had to basically pull people away from tables because they were just having so much fun. It's really great for us to get that kind of positive reaction.
And look, it must be a really complex and strategic game because Garth and I both won our game. Woo-hoo! So clearly you've got to have a gamer's mind.
Oh, what's that, Leon? Can't hear you. Yeah. So look, what I love, it is the D in dungeons. It is the D in deck building. So Mark, this is your wet dream kind of game.
It is.
But what I love, it's all about the D. What I really love is that on your turn, you really only get two decisions to make.
Yeah.
I'm a simple guy. More than two decisions and I'm out.
Yeah.
So this game fills that really simple Garth's test, which is he only has to make one or two decisions.
So the Kickstarter is coming soon and we'll tell you all about it in our next program.
Yeah, that's a next week problem.
We'll tell you all about it in our next program. If you want to know more, handoffateordeals.com.
Yep, that's right.
With or without a colon.
No colons.
No colons?
No, just...
So the D and the colon, Mark, in one little...
No one has a colon here. But more exciting news, you guys are so fantastic because you've given us three copies of your amazingly successful game, Burger Up, to give away to our listeners. That is so great. Thank you so much.
No worries. Glad to do it.
And Garth, what have they got to do to win?
So all these people have to do, our wonderful listeners, is take a photo of them eating a burger. Really simple. I'm sure, like us, most of them will eat burgers on a pretty regular basis. So please just take a photo, send it in to either dicemencometh@gmail.com, put it on our Facebook page, tweet to us, or put it on our Instagram. It's that simple. Some lucky people will get one of three copies of the Burger Up Kickstarter edition, which also has the Burgers of the World expansion, has a coaster, has a recipe book where you can make your own burgers. Oh, it just has everything.
Brilliant. So... Rule to Make, Burger Up, Hand of Fate Ordeals, it's all happening. Look out for more news soon.
Yes.
This has been another episode of The Dice Men Cometh, proudly sponsored by Area 52, offering comics, books, card games and board games for the whole family. Find them at 104 Elizabeth Street, Hobart or online at area52.com.au and find us online at thedicemencometh.com.